Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk here at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. I'm Tom Timmerman, beat writer from the Post-Dispatch covering St. Louis City SC, and joined, as usual, by Beth O'Malley. Hello, Beth. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes. And this is a Wednesday. It's another one in our series of Day Late podcasts, but we like to think that the quality only goes up, like a fine wine. The podcast is better. I don't know how that, I don't even think that metaphor or simile works, but in any case, here we are, let's face it, a truly, unexpected time or a rare time, an unusual time.
How long has it been since City won two road games in a row?
Two consecutive road games. You have to go back to the middle of the first season, I think June and July, and obviously fewer opportunities for it. But the last time they won on consecutive match days on the road, you have to go back to the very beginning of the club's, a long time ago, because usually it's only been like 12 times they've had back to back, road games. But this is the first time they've ever won two of them. So yeah. And, look, Montreal is not great. San Jose's on the borderline. Look, for this team, for St. Louis City to do that, I don't care who they are, a breakthrough achievement. You can say the opposition's bad, but look, City going into that game was, 27th in the league? Mm-hmm. So this is not exactly like a, gangbusters operation. But, Like the proverbial large ship, they are finally seeming to turn that ship. And they might have started turning, 6 weeks ago. It's finally, no longer going at 180 degrees. It's now going off to about, 120 degrees. It's making that turn. It takes a long time for it to happen, but gradually the results are catching up with the performance, because it's been a while that we've heard Critchley say that, they're playing better, they deserve better, and finally they're getting better results.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising that they've gotten to this point at this point in the season. It's definitely not I'm losing my train of thought because somebody else was talking to me, and I'm sitting in the middle of the newsroom, and unfortunately I forgot to put on like a hoodie or something to be like, I'm not really here. It is incredible that City has gotten to this point. And even if they can't salvage the rest of the season in terms of making it to the postseason, which I still contend is out of their reach, they are, the players clearly want to prove something still. And I know that when they come into play at home on Saturday, the players have made it a priority to try to win at home, reward the home fans. And so we're going to see a team that hopefully is really motivated to show the fans what they can still do.
Now, going into this game in San Jose, the City was down Palou Fall, Henry Kessler, and Sungbin Young, three players who had figured in the, win in Montreal, and there was doom and gloom. How are they going to go into this game? They're missing their top two center backs at this point in time. They're missing their speedy, guy on the wing. What are they, they're doomed. They don't stand a chance. And I would note that San Jose, historically is the place for City SC. Going back to the first season, they went into a game there with a drastically rotated lineup, because it was the third game in 8 days. There were injuries, and they flew Sam Adeniran in from San Antonio, where he'd been loaned. They, Akil Watts and Josh Yarrow made their first starts, and they went out and beat San Jose. Now, that was a crappy San Jose. That was as bad. That was like the worst team in the league that season. But never mind. Never mind that fact. They did it. And this, once again, was a doom and gloom. What are they going to do? And they, they're starting Kyle Hebert as one of the center backs alongside Timo Baumgartner. They're putting Early. Oh my goodness, Brendan McSorley is going into the starting lineup. Though we didn't know who it was going to be until the lineups came out. And then, McSorley goes out and scores two goals and has an assist, and they win. Nerve-wracking at times, but they win. I think listeners of this podcast will remember, and if not, I'm going to remind them that I've been big on Brendan McSorley. I've been a Brendan McSorley honk, over this season. I mean, last year he was just learning, but I have been in favor of Brendan McSorley. Did he come through? And that's, two goals in a game. Again, doesn't matter who the opponent is. That's pretty good. And then, to set up Marcel Hartl for another goal. Brendan McSorley is one of those guys. They signed him late, brought him up from City 2. He's on a contract that runs out after the season. There will be an option. It's difficult now to imagine that they don't pick that option up. We go from there. And, where Brendan, is Brendan McSorley going to be a 15 goal scorer? I don't know about that. Is he going to, could he be an 8-10 goal scorer? Yeah, he could.
Yeah.
With goal scorer? Yes, they could. So, this was kind of, though it wasn't his first game, it was his first start, and it is the beginning of, I think, the Brendan McSorley era. Who knows how history will remember the Brendan McSorley era? And again, there's plenty of time, and this was one game, but a solid debut. And one of the cool things about it was if you go back and watch his first goal, the look on his face when he celebrates with Klaus, because he and Klaus are buddies, because Klaus is everybody's buddy, but Klaus and Simon Betcher are best friends. McSorley respects Klaus. I mean, he's like a, I don't know, beacon in the forward attacking core on this team. So that's, but the look on McSorley's face when he went over and hugged Klaus after that, he said he was going to go to the corner and celebrate. But then he saw Klaus and just had to go to Klaus and celebrate with him. And you could just see the joy, not only of scoring, but of sharing it with a guy who he credits with having helped him, through this adapting to being a pro.
Yeah. It's exactly the kind of story that Critchley, I know that Critchley didn't know that McSorley was going to score two goals, but that's exactly what he was hoping for when he put him in that lineup and gave him the start. He knows McSorley really well. He coached City 2 for a long time. So, to see that work pay off for the coach and for the player, I'm sure felt really good.
Yeah. Actually, as a coach, when you make a decision like that, because he could have chosen Simon Betcher, he could have done things with Thomas
Could he have
Ostrak in
chosen
his.
Simon Betcher?
It's certainly an option. Certainly an option. And he
He's
could
an
have.
option, but
He came off the bench later in the game. So, I mean, Betcher is a seasoned pro. I mean, you
yeah,
could have put
that's
Mekhi
true.
Joyner
That's
in
true.
that spot. I mean, you could have done, other things, but he liked the way McSorley was practicing and went with him. And that's the kind of thing that, like, as a coach, you'd love it when, you make that maybe not the most obvious choice to the world at large and go with it. And it's certainly not the safe choice. I mean, there are other guys that, you could have said, we'll go with Betcher for 60 minutes and bring in McSorley. And, no one would have batted an eye, about that. But, they went with McSorley and we'll see. I mean, as, Young is back this week, Critchley was being evasive when we talked to him on Tuesday about, can you get McSorley and Young on the field together? And he said, yeah, we can. I'm not going to say anything about it, but we've got a couple scenarios worked out where maybe we could do that. I don't know if it works in the 4-2-3-1 formation that he likes, but he's not ruling that out. Is in a monument to Aquinas there on practice on the Tuesday. So,
Or any other updates from practice? I'm going to guess, because I didn't see it, that it was a calm practice.
There was no shouting and fighting. Now, we'll say Roman Berkey wasn't practicing. They gave him the day off after his massive 9-save game against San Jose. So he wasn't out there. So that may have tempered things slightly. But Song Bin-young and Falu Fall were back. Henry Kessler not back, though. Chrisley was saying that, you know, they're just resting him up and they're hoping that by Wednesday he would be back on the field. Falu Fall back, and he was back at the end of last week, but he had been sick all week, and so it was a matter of getting him back up to strength and being able to go the whole game. And it looks like he would be ready this week, though. Chrisley was strong on the play of Kyle Hebert on Saturday against San Jose. That was a big thing. That Hebert, first time he'd played in a couple months, and he went out there and did a good job. And Chrisley was raving about Hebert to the extent that, look, this is a guy who hasn't played, but he was ready. And when we needed him, he was able to jump in and do the job. So that was a big thing there. That really, struck a chord with Chrisley, Hebert, was ready and went out there and did it. And he's saying, you know, I'll have to think about that again. Now, I would think that if you've got Fall and maybe Kessler back, that unless again, you've tinkered with the formation, that there's not room for Kyle Hebert out there. But, if you have to bring Kessler along slowly, and, you know, I won't believe it until we see him practice a couple of days and he's ready to go.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, he's talking up Kyle Hebert, again. And, you know, and Hebert is typical Kyle Hebert. Yeah, I just got to be ready. You know, I'm ready all the time. And that's what you do as a pro, and you get ready. And then when the chance comes, you jump back in.
Well, and I wonder, you know, a coach who gives the player who hasn't had a chance to play in a few games, when they do and that player rewards that, I wonder how much of that is good management to say, oh yeah, you know, he did a really good job, and praise him more publicly than just behind the scenes or in the locker room, or yeah, we can consider him for future lineups. I don't know. I would assume there's quite a bit of personality management that has to be done that you and I see very little of. So,
yeah, though I will say that, and this is the beauty of Kyle Hebert, and it's why teams need guys like him.
Yes.
I think I've talked about this before, but in hockey, it's the seventh defenseman. It is right. The guy who is going to be a scratch, you know, 90% of the games, but then all of a sudden someone gets banged up. You need to put someone in, and he's ready to go. And for years, that was Robert Bortuzzo with the Blues. And it's a guy that knows, okay, I'm the seventh guy. My job is to be ready. And my job is to not be complaining. My job is not to be irritating in the dressing room, and to be there, you know, and be ready to go. And Kyle Hebert does that. Kyle Hebert is always in a good mood and wants to play, but also appreciates the fact that there's other guys and knows what his, what his position is. And,
right. Yes.
And there are guys that are making a whole lot more money, than he is, who have played in the Bundesliga and have played in other leagues around the world. So he appreciates, that he's a guy from Missouri State. But he got a big shout out, from Chrisley, apparently after the game in the locker room and in the, with the media on, on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was great to see City win and win in a way where, you know, we've talked previously about how they had trouble killing games out. And certainly there were moments during that game, lots of moments during the game where it looked really, really dangerous. But having a 2-goal cushion, I wasn't necessarily on the edge of my seat or waiting for the inevitable. Just having that cushion, I'm sure, made the players feel slightly better and made me as a fan feel a lot better.
Well, yeah, after San Jose cuts it to 2-1, you think, All right. Well, right, you know, here. now it starts. And then McSorley gets the goal right before the half, and it's 3-1. And like, okay, this is good. Now you have to hold on for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that second half, I think, was pretty scary. There were a lot of chances for San Jose. There were a lot of big saves by Berkey. There were a lot of just straight out misses by San Jose.
It was a little bit like watching City play City for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was reminded of the Dallas game with the backup goalie. Mm-hmm. But Berkey did. He came up huge time and time again.
Yeah. That was one of his, if not his best game of the season. And it wasn't a shutout. Again, City can't stop a penalty kick, you know, as a longstanding problem that it always comes up wrong for them on penalty kicks. Berkey was great, and they got to the end, but with a lot of pressure there in the second mm-hmm. half mm-hmm. from San Jose. But, you know, and we get back to, I think we talked about this after Montreal, that things have swung and that they are, to a certain extent, making their own luck, that mm-hmm. they are getting the breaks that they did not get in those games before. And whether it's the world evening out or it's, you know, the karma or vibes or whatever it is, things are working better for City SC. And look, they'll take it at this point.
They'll take it at this point. And because City won, Kansas City has been eliminated from the playoffs before City has. So
yes.
For the fans who were hoping for that to happen, congratulations.
City SC has climbed over Sporting KC in the standings. They're finally they've been in 14th place, mm-hmm. avoiding 15th only because of the LA Galaxy. But now they have climbed ahead of Sporting KC, which is eliminated. Now, look, City is, for all intents and purposes, eliminated. They are, because right now the scenarios for them to make the playoffs is win every game and to have Dallas and Houston and Real Salt Lake and San Jose not win any games. There's a little room in there for some of those teams to tie. But if those teams, if any of those four teams wins even one game,
mm-hmm.
That's a really difficult scenario to imagine playing out. And you can look at each game and say, well, I could see them not winning this game. And that's true. But when you total up, I think it would be 15 games that all have to have a pretty specific result. That is a really tough parlay to have. So
are any of those games against the other team?
There are none of those games, fortunately for City, are against each other.
Okay.
So that at least avoids that problem. But and some of, you know, there are not many that are against bad teams. So these teams are not the best team. So, but it's a tough. It's unrealistic.
So unlikely. Yeah.
It is beyond unlikely. It is, I think it's past improbable and effectively too impossible.
Exactly.
But then again, City's game this week against LAFC. LAFC right now, best team in the league, quite possibly. You know, they're not at the top of the standings, but they're up there, and they have won.
Right.
I don't know. They've had a hat trick. They've had players have hat tricks in three consecutive games.
Right.
They are just offensively, and they've scored four goals in each of their last three games. They are just flying. They are the hottest team in the league right now. And so they're coming into St. Louis. But as we have seen, like MLS, you know, as Tim Parker said, MLS is going to MLS. And so while you would look at this game and say, boy, this City doesn't have a chance. I mean, City's defense has not been good. They've
right.
allowed only one goal in the past games, but it has not been good. LAFC's got an offense that is just a juggernaut right now.
Exactly.
And you say, City's given up three or four goals so many times. How can they stop these guys? Look, they shouldn't be able to. There's no reason City should, you know, should not win this game. But who's to say? I mean, these last couple of games, so weirder unpredictable.
Weirder things have happened than City winning a game.
In one game in Major League Soccer, almost anything can happen. And it would be surprising, but, you know, not out of the question, because I have seen this team do stranger things, and I've seen this league do stranger things, and I have seen teams that you said, though, this is going to be the most lopsided thing ever, and it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So City's got something going. Is it going to be tough? Yes, it's going to be tough. This will be, I mean, LAFC is scary good right now. But, you know, and who knows? City's won two in a row. I mean, City, you know, they had won two road games in the preceding 2 years, and then they won two road games in 8 days. How is this happening? I don't know. But it has.
What Tom is saying is that maybe we should all be rooting for a 0-0 game.
That, in some ways, would be as big a surprise as any of them. Though a tie does knock City out, but again, this point. And actually, this year's City team has stayed alive longer than last year's City team. Mm-hmm. So they, City last year was in the fourth game from the end. This time it'll probably be in the third game from the end that they get eliminated.
Tom is basically wrestling with his small dog at the moment to try to keep him from barking. So
yes, and is not cooperating.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what the issue is here for. I wrote in the Tuesday notebook. I was talking to Marcel Hartl on Tuesday, and and he was first we were talking about his wife is expecting again. They already have one child. They're expecting a second. It'll be another girl. When you see Marcel Hartl do his goal celebration afterwards, where he does he puts three fingers down, which is for the letter M, and three fingers up, because their first names all begin with the letter M. As I said, so are you going to have to modify that? I said, well, we haven't decided on the name yet for the next one. It could be an M, it could be an L. And so if it you know, varies on that, we might have to alter things. So, but they haven't decided yet. And actually, that was surprising to think that it was not that you would think that at this point he would automatically choose an M name, but no, they apparently have an L that they like. He also behind his left ear has a little M to the third tattoo behind his ear. And I said, so what do you do if you got do you put make a four there? And said, he said, no, I will have M 3+1. So that's the
mathematically that doesn't work, but okay. Or,
yeah. So that, but that's the, anyway, that, but I was talking to him and I said, look, last year's team finished strong. This year's team is finishing strong. Last year finished strong. And last year, you know, the expectations, well, you know, if they can carry this over, well, what happens next? You know, how good can the team be? And it obviously didn't happen. I said, so is there a way? Can it happen to carry this over? And he said, in effect, well, if we keep Critchley as coach, you know, it can happen. Mm-hmm. And a strong vote in favor. Hartl has always been a big Critchley fan, supportive of him. But he said, you know, if we want to keep this going, the progress we've made, the momentum we've made, the way to do that is to retain Critchley as coach. And a lot of players feel the same way. And so that will be, you know, one of those decisions as we see how this last month now plays out. Because right, you know, the results haven't been great, but now the results are starting to get better and maybe they win, you know, one or two out of their last three, and a solid finish, and they end up finishing, you know, it's going to be hard for them to get higher than 13th in the Western Conference, or like about 24th or 23rd overall. But You know, they could make it where they didn't miss the playoffs by all that much, where
Right.
they miss the playoffs by 6 or 9 points, at which point they really start regretting all the points they squandered during the season. But it becomes a matter of, you know, if Critchley is, you know, help, you know, how much his candidacy helps. And a lot, obviously it depends on the sporting director, but the situation's improving for him, to retain this job.
I think the outlook for what he has done to improve the offense is looking a lot better now than even against Dallas, a couple of weeks ago, because the team is finally getting the results, as you said. And I know that, sometimes in soccer, you have to look at a lot more, but having that, those points at the end of the day certainly helps everybody feel a lot better about job performance. So.
Yeah. And if nothing else, for continuity. I mean, if you bring in somebody else at this point, you will have in the past three seasons gone
right.
Carnell, Hackworth, Melberg, Critchley, Coach X. I mean,
right.
That's, even if you say two of them were interim coaches, that's five different guys that much of this team will have been hearing from in that time. And it's, that can't be good. That cannot be good to have.
It can't be good. It has to be frustrating. And it has to make some of the players, especially if they do switch coaches, wonder about, do I even want to be here long term if they keep doing this? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in a way, somebody from outside, boy, you've got to be committed to that guy for two seasons because you can't go through this again. And so, yeah. You know, go ahead.
I think another thing that Hartle says is, you know, Critchley at this point knows the team. He knows where they have to improve, where mm-hmm. they need new players, et cetera. And even at the time that Olaf was sacked, he was still saying that he was still learning the players and learning their personalities. And, you know, I think we said at the time that seems like a long time to get to know a team. And I don't know that another coach could come in and learn their players faster, but it would still have that learning curve to it. And Hartle is basically saying, look, if we can hit the ground running from training camp on with a guy who already knows us, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but who knows? Who knows what happens in the organization? You know, John Hackworth is plunging himself into being the sporting director of this team. He is not taking it lightly. He is, you know, while he's doing also coaching City 2, like last weekend, coached a game with City 2 in Austin on Friday, flew to San Jose, you know, after the game to be there on Saturday for the CDSC game. He did that the week before, flying to Montreal, to be there for the game. So even though this is a point in time where there's less for the sporting director to do, because the transfer window is passed and you're now getting ready for the next window. But I mean, he's taking advantage of this and he is being very, you know, conscientious, scrupulous, what have you, on, you know, doing the job of being sporting director. And then, you know, here's another thing as we talk about Hackworth as sporting director. Hire John Hackworth as sporting director. Then, you know, I said this after last season, which was, you know, you pass over Hackworth for head coach. What's his future in the organization? If you now have passed him over for coach and sporting director, and he is technical director, which is a job, but is far, you know, which is a different level of job than that. It's like, you know, it's like we like you, but not for the two most important jobs in this organization.
I mean, you know, if he's passed over again, they may as well hand him the engraved invitation. You know, we like you, but not that much.
Right. Yeah.
It would be, I think, a loss to the team to lose him, even if it's just losing him from technical director. He clearly knows the system. He knows the team We'll see what the transfer window brings if he's still around at that point, which hopefully hopefully they have named an actual manager by that point, or I'm sorry, a director at that point.
Yeah, we find that DC United just went out and hired as a sporting director an agent, a European player agent, who they hired, which is certainly raising eyebrows around the league as, what the heck are you doing there? DC United raises a lot of eyebrows, and as a team that has been struggling for some time now, continues to find ways to raise eyebrows. So we'll see how that plays out. But I just don't see, and maybe I'm just talking to myself, I don't see how you find someone better than Hackworth for this job. And you say, well, someone who knows European teams or knows South American teams and has contacts there and can knows that market. But I think you got to know MLS. And Hartle saying, look, yeah, and Critchley knows, this team and knows what we got. I think as sporting director, Hackworth knows what's out there and knows domestically what you can get and, has looked, I'm sure pays enough attention internationally, as he's been hanging around, we hung around with Lutz for 4 years. They know there and how to find players and what the markets look like and how to get them. And yes, he may not have that same level of contacts, but I think knowing what works in MLS is a very, very important trait to have for a sporting director. When you're saying build a team that's going to compete in Major League Soccer, to know what the league is all about. So, now this goes against what Diego at the time of the change, which was someone needs to have international experience.
Right.
And if you have Hackworth and Critchley, where's your international experience? I mean, Hackworth has coached internationally. I mean, he's coached the U.S. national team. So does that count? England, does that count? What does it take to meet that standard of European or international experience? But while this team needs changes, in certain places it needs continuity. And I wonder if, keeping the brain trust in place and, changing the players is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to chat about?
The SLU men shot up to number 7 in the coaches poll, and then they tied Missouri State and they dropped down to number 8, and then they played Akron. Well, they played Duquesne in Pittsburgh and won that in their A-10 opener. And then they went and picked up a non-conference game against Akron on Tuesday night and got thumped by Akron 3-0. They will probably take a dip, in the, numbers 9, but their RPI going into that game was number 8. So, and Akron was 16. So they may not drop at least, RPI wise that much. Are they in a position where even if they don't win the A-10 tournament, that they're in? I don't know, but, certainly a win over a team like Akron, giving them one more, quad one win, as they say, would have been, a big thing to have. Yeah. That they didn't get. This weekend is, you've got, City SC playing LAFC on Saturday at the same time as, the SLU men are playing LaSalle, and it's homecoming for SLU, which means it's always the big fireworks show at halftime of the SLU, men's soccer game. So if you're, if you can't get out to, Energizer Park, for the City game, you can take in fireworks. As SLU plays LaSalle, Saturday at Herman Stadium. So, those are the key things. Mm-hmm. But again, City SC is suddenly, has found it. They have figured out what they need to do and are getting results. And, you got to give them credit. for that. The tanker has started to turn. So,
All right.
So with added emphasis from the dog. So,
she agrees as well.
Yeah. Hey, and since we're doing this is a podcast, and I got to give a farewell shout out to the king.
Yes.
Of STLtoday.com podcast, Jeff Gordon, who is retiring after a 40-year stint at the, they've been around long enough that podcasts, you know, weren't even heard of, weren't even thought of when Jeff started in this thing. But the voice of how many podcasts is he a part of?
All of them.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah, he does the hockey podcast. I can't talk. He does the baseball podcast with Derek Gould. I don't think he's been on this one once, maybe as a guest. I don't remember.
Not with me, I don't think. Is he doing? Is he doing the Mizzou podcast?
Yeah, he's done the Mizzou podcast, I believe. And, you know, he's in the Inside Pitch video. I believe he also does an Front Presence video. I mean, and he writes a daily column, that, you know, the tip sheet. Well, I guess he wrote a daily column, the tip sheet. And beyond all of that, he has also been very active with the Guild in the newsroom and nationally, which is, to me, as impressive. When I was still in the Guild, I was on the board, and just the amount of time that he took to handle various issues was pretty incredible. So
yeah, and I would think that the amount of writing, the amount of column inches that Gordo has had in the Post-Dispatch or on STLtoday.com over the past 20 years is bigger than anybody's, because he's a machine on cranking things out. So
yes.
Jeff, a well-deserved, a well-earned retirement, and having done NetFront Presence with him for many years, and sat with him in hockey games, and an invaluable staff member who can and has done just about everything in his time. So a salute to Gordo as he goes out the door. So thank you very much, Jeff, for all you've done. And as Jeff would say, support local journalism. Subscribe to the Post-Dispatch or STLtoday.com. Plenty more online on the website that doesn't make print, but all sorts of stuff there. So make sure to give it a look, because as Jeff would say, this staff punches above its weight. And for a staff this size, does as good a job as any paper in America. So, Beth, thank you once again. Thank you very much. I'm Tom. Until next week, be seeing you.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.